Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the That Sounds Fun podcast. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. 4 weeks in a row, you guys. Are you impressed or what? What a fun couple of weeks we've had. We started out with Mike and Molly Grayson from Grayson Reed. I hope you've enjoyed that conversation and have gotten a chance to grab that album. And then Rebecca Lyons, who I love. Her new book, You Are Free, is incredible. I loved it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And then last week with the She Reads Truth girls talking about Lent. So welcome to March 2nd, the second day of Lent. Or is it the first day of Lent officially, since yesterday was Ash Wednesday? Well, I should probably sort that out. But day one and or day two of Lent. I'm excited to hear from you guys how you're going to celebrate it and observe it and just kind of make Lent a part of your life. In the background singing to us is our sweet friend Ellie Holcomb. And her new album, Red Sea Road, is just unbelievable. And I had the chance, finally, you guys tell me all the time when I ask, who do you want on the show? All over and over again, people say, why has Ellie not been on the show yet? And the answer is because I failed you. But now I have no longer failed you because we have an entire conversation today with Ellie Holcomb about her new record, Red Sea Road, about her husband, Drew, and his incredible music. His band is called Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, and they're really awesome as well. So I apologize in advance because Ellie and I cried. We just kind of got into it, and it got real. So that is what you have coming your way. Some laughs, some tears, and a really, really fun conversation with our sweet friend, Ellie Holcomb. Ellie, I'm so glad to finally have you on the podcast.
I'm so glad to be here.
I mean, you're on every episode. The people know your name as well as they know my name because you're on every episode. But we have a very special podcast today because producer Chad brought us donuts.
Mm.
Are you enjoying yours? I already finished mine.
I am. I'm in process.
What kind did you get?
I think this is like a sea salt chocolate.
Mm, well done.
Donut?
Five daughters, ma'am. Aren't they the ones, I may be wrong about this, aren't they the ones that were on Shark Tank or something? Were they on something?
I think they were.
They were on something before they got to Nashville. I don't really either. It stresses me out a lot. Do you? Why don't you watch it?
It just makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just don't watch it because I don't watch real TV that much.
What do you watch? Oh, kid TV?
Well, yeah, Emily Lou thinks that my favorite show is Daniel Tiger's Humor.
Well, it is, isn't it? You love that guy.
He is good.
Yeah,
he teaches.
But
her lots
do you watch?
Lessons.
Do you just watch Netflix?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. But I guess is Shark Tank on Netflix?
Maybe. I don't know.
Look it up, guys.
Everybody, check out Shark Tank on your local Netflix. I don't know. I mean, I like it, but it does stress me out a little bit.
I literally just watched my first episode of Shark Tank, like last week, because Drew's parents were in town and they love that show.
Oh, do they? Were they in town when he was sick or after?
After he was sick, yes.
I mean, he got so sick and then y'all went to Argentina.
Yeah, like you do. Welcome to my family.
Man, that was crazy.
It was crazy.
Does he feel better?
He does. His immune system is really down. And did you know in Nashville right now, like 4 schools are shut down because of sickness?
No way.
It's like this flu, there's a really bad 2 strains of the flu going around.
And so they just have to stop school because they just have to.
Like,
so
it's like outbreak.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's like outbreak.
Really,
I did actually see on the television this morning on the news or last night that like going toward Kentucky, there's like 4 counties who shut down.
Who shut down?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's
so crazy. We've had that in our house, like our kids, both of our kids and Drew have been sick.
Oh my gosh.
But compared to how he was in December.
Right.
He's great.
Yeah. You're like, he is healthy as a horse compared to what we walked through in the winter. I mean, what was that like for you, for him to be so sick? Your album's getting ready to come out. Mm-hmm. Y'all have this 10th anniversary trip mm-hmm. to yeah. Argentina. Like, tell me about that season. What was going on in your heart and all that?
Yeah, so just for those of you who don't know or follow me on Instagram, my husband had a really rare form of viral meningitis. So he basically had the worst migraine of his life for 10 days. We were talking to doctors some in the middle of that. And on the 10th day, he was like collapsing on the floor and throwing up. It was really like scary. Yeah. And so we were in the ER, and you know, so I'm getting ready to release this record in January, Red Sea Road. And I wrote the record through a really like heartbreaking 2 years for our community. Mm-hmm. And then it was like the Lord was like, here, I'm going to show you all these things about who I am in the middle of suffering. Mm. And then here, you're going to walk through, then you're going to have to need to remember it.
Yeah.
Again. And
yeah.
So this sounds crazy to say, but that time in the hospital was so scary. And hospitals in general are like not my cup of tea.
Sure.
Like I'm not a hospital person. I feel really uncomfortable. Like shots freak me out. I always want to like pass out whenever I see needles.
Sure.
So it was one of the coolest things because in the hospital room, you know, you're just exhausted, you're scared. And all of a sudden, all of these, the scripture that I've memorized over the past 8 years with a friend of mine who battles depression, I didn't pack my Bible, you know, like,
yeah.
And we were rushing out the door to the hospital. And all of these promises of God were like, I just was speaking them out over my husband and over my own like fearful, shaky heart. And so
So you were literally like saying out loud,
oh yeah,
God, here's what's true.
Here's what's true.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful, it turned out to be, even though it was really scary, mm-hmm. I felt like I got to live in a even more personal way, the truth that I learned and experienced over the past 2 years. Like the Lord was like, lest you forget,
right.
Here's who I am in the middle of things that you don't understand and that you don't have control over.
Yeah.
Here's who I am. I'm right here with you.
Yeah.
And so it was a really beautiful journey. And then, you know, we've been planning a trip to Argentina and Chile we decided every 5 years we'd take an adventure.
Yeah.
And so we literally spend 5 years saving and planning for our next trip. And so we had been planning for 5 years to do this trip. We thought for sure we wouldn't get to go.
Right.
And we could not believe it when the doctor cleared us to go.
Yeah, the doctor was like, yeah, sure. I know it's been a very rare version of viral meningitis, but go ahead.
Go ahead. It's
fine.
Go
to South America. You're fine.
Fly to the bottom of the earth.
Right, right.
It'll
it's
going
to be good. It's going to be, you've got my number if you need me.
Oh, man.
He was fine?
He was totally fine. And
that's amazing.
Really, like we were going to take an 18-mile hike. We couldn't do that, which really, honestly, I was kind of glad
about.
It's
fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Drew feels terrible. We're just going to.
He's been really sick.
We're going to lay by the pool.
I don't think we can do all 18.
Yeah.
So we scaled back some of the things that we were going to do just in terms of like, you know, boldness.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like we're
danger.
Like,
and
danger.
The extending your body's.
Right.
Normal,
too far.
Yeah, sure.
So we did like adjust some of that stuff, but it was, I think honestly, it just made, he came home 2 days before Christmas and then, January 5th we left, and it was like sweetest Christmas we've ever had.
Yeah.
Cause I think when, I guess you're just reminded that there are no guarantees in this life. All of our days are numbered. We don't know, you know, we just don't know. But we do know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know him to be really near in times like that. So it was like the sweetest Christmas ever. And then like the trip was made even sweeter because we thought, one, Drew might not be alive. And then two, like we definitely thought we weren't going to get to take
like,
that.
If, so if he lives through this, we for sure aren't going to Argentina.
Right. Yeah. So it was just, we were like, we're here.
Yeah.
There's breath in our lungs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's climb a mountain for a second and then turn around and go back down.
And then get in a four-wheeler and let him drive us back down.
Fine. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What was Argentina like? Was it cool?
It's like...
I've never been down
the
there.
The most beautiful... I've never seen... Have you ever seen a glacier?
I don't think that I have.
I've never seen, they're not common here in the South.
Right, right. We're fresh out here in Tennessee, landlocked southern cut state.
But I literally, like,
but I don't think I've ever
seen
one.
My little girl loves Frozen, and I was like, this is where Elsa lives. Like, it is like, it's just, it's sort of, it was like a week of, I kept telling Drew, like, can you believe this? I can't, like, my eyes couldn't take in just the majesty and the beauty. And I felt like I got to spend a week like hearing creation sing and the song was turned up like real, you know, when you're like jamming out in your car, you're this song is everything. That's how it felt for 10 days. I'm like, this is everything.
Yeah. Ellie, so I think that's one of the things we love about each other. It's similar about us is that nature can be like just so loud. Like that, I feel, I mean, I can look at a sunrise or a sunset and fall apart. I mean, it's just so easy to be like, oh my gosh, all of this is the Lord's and he did it. So I can't imagine.
It's really big and I'm really small and he still sees and knows and loves me. It just, and I'm more value. He says I'm more valuable than, and it, so it just, I'm so, I love that about you.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that about he writes, I love it. He writes his story and his love all over the earth. And so. I just, I'm so grateful.
And so you've never seen anything like it. Had Drew seen a glacier before?
No, he hadn't. No. And we got to trek on a glacier.
Oh, yeah, I saw. There was one where you were jumping.
Trek. You have to use trek instead of walk.
Clearly, because you weren't just walking.
Really, it was just, walking. We actually were just walking.
But didn't you have on like special shoes?
Yeah.
With sharp
things
on them?
Crampons, which really rhymes with something.
That can't be true. They're called crampons.
Crampons, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I was like, is it not clamp? And they're like, no, it's cramp.
Right. You're like, no, no, no. I actually know.
It's a sign of things to come. Right. Like, I'm going to cramp. But it is really, and they were so encouraging too, you know, like they're like, yes. So you have to walk like really like upright and your feet very far apart from each other. Cause it's basically like spikes, really big spikes on the bottom of, so if you trip and fall and step on your toe, it's not a good situation.
Right. So you have to like really keep your feet apart.
Yeah. So it's kind of like walking. I think maybe this is why they call it trekking. Cause it's kind of like walking, but you're in a constant like kind of squat cause you have to bend your knees.
Is it like
you
you're
look super cute.
Yeah, yeah, it's so cute. Is it like you like the videos of the monster walking? What's he called? The
abominable. Snoring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like how they walk and their arms are real far out.
No, yeah, it kind of does feel like that. You're kind of like bouncing, but it's not. It's really just like walking.
Bigfoot. In. That's the other one I'm thinking of. Bigfoot.
Probably more that.
Yeah.
Than the,
well, the same. I was picturing the same thing. As soon as you said it, that's exactly what I pictured as well. So yes, I know. Okay, so you had to trek.
Yeah.
With crampons,
but it was like it was easy, you know, like it was not hard. And the coolest thing about Patagonia, and like, you know, like when you like are in the gas station and you see like fresh mountain water,
sure,
literally you there's no marketing, you just literally put your water bottle in the streams up there because it's all.
Oh, Drew loved that, didn't he?
He did,
oh,
and so did I.
So did you.
I have a picture of me. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I have a picture of me in like, it looks fake. It's like blue water.
Really?
And it just is the way the light reflects off of it up there.
And so but pure.
And you just literally, they're like, are you thirsty? Dip your water in this stream or waterfall and drink it.
Yeah.
And it is like, the water is fantastic. It's all filtered. Anyway, it's like naturally filtered.
That's incredible.
Water.
This is a ridiculous question. How long did it take you to fly there?
Oh, yeah. 10 hours, and I actually passed out on the flight.
What? Ellie, you haven't told me that.
No,
you passed out on the flight?
I did. I got really hot, I had a glass of wine with my dinner, which I do from time to time.
Sure.
But then I made the mistake of taking NyQuil, so I guess like... Wine and NyQuil are not a good combination. Just
and
public
you just
service announcement.
Out cold.
Well, I had to go to the restroom, and I think what actually happened. Like, I don't think that like I had NyQuil like 2 hours after the wine, so
yeah,
I don't think that was
you didn't,
actually
like, swallow it.
But I'll never. Yeah. I didn't like take NyQuil with a glass.
Yeah.
But I did. So I did it like 2 hours after we finished watching a movie. But I woke up. I was really hot, and I stood up really fast. So I guess the like. All the blood rushed to my head. And I don't remember. I literally, like, I remember walking down the aisle and then I don't remember passing out, but I just woke up and a guy was really looking over me, really concerned. It was dark. Everyone was asleep, so nobody really saw me.
Oh, that's kind of nice, the guy though. That
I, yes, it is really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. For you.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Thank you that I passed out in darkness.
Yes, yes, yes.
But he was handing me a pillow. And I remember, you know, when you feel so cramped on a flight, you've been in like, I was in the middle seat, like in between two people. And I remember like all I wanted to do was put, like, I just was like, thank you so much. And I remember having the thought, like, I'm just gonna sleep right here in the aisle. It feels so good to stretch out.
Oh my gosh.
And then I had the wherewithal to be like,
What am I doing down here? Yeah. Was the guy helping you? Was he a flight attendant or was he just
a
guy on the
plane?
No, he
was just a passenger. He was like, are you okay?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like,
So what'd you do? Did you stand up?
I stood up and I ran to the bathroom. And hid for 30 minutes. It's fine. Don't worry
totally
about
fine.
It.
It feels really natural. I would have done the literal exact same thing. I would have hid for sure.
Oh, man. Is that not crazy?
So did you ever tell the flight attendants? Did anybody ever check on you?
I did go and talk to the flight attendant. And I was like, am I okay? I've never passed out before in my life. And he was like, did you stand up really fast to go to the bathroom? I was like, yeah. He was like, did you have a glass of wine at dinner? I was like, yeah. He was like, did you also take NyQuil or some sleeping
pill?
Oh,
no way.
I was like, yeah. He was like, this happens all the time.
Oh, he's like, it's not that I've been watching you. It's that this is like
safety announcement.
The math equation of guaranteeing you pass out on a flight. You fell on the floor and some guy helped you. And it wasn't even Drew. Like Drew didn't even know.
I went and like got back in my seat and I was like, just so you know, I just passed out, but I'm fine.
I was laying on the floor of the plane
and in the bathroom for 30 minutes. But it felt good to stretch, you know? And no one was knocking on the door. So
I mean, they're all asleep, except the guy who's like, now she's passed out. If I'd have been the guy who helped you and you were in the bathroom for a half an hour, I'd have knocked on the door after 6 minutes because I'd have been like, she's dead.
I did wonder if he worried about me. And
for
I almost
sure
went
did,
to
right?
tell him I was okay. But I actually like even didn't went know. Across the other side of the plane because I was so embarrassed.
So he'll fine. Just live his life. Not
yeah.
knowing.
Yeah.
Man, that junk happens to me on the plane all the time where something will happen and I'll go, well, I'm never going to know the end of the story.
I'm never going to know the end. So, guy on the plane, if you
happen to be a That Sounds Fun podcast listener.
Thank you for helping me and God bless you.
God bless you.
Send me your email. I'd love to mail you a present.
Over email. A donut. Yeah, we'll send you a donut for your sacrifice. That can you imagine looking over on a plane and you've like, oh, stretching, waking up. There's a girl on the floor.
There's a girl laying on the floor.
She's just laying there.
I don't know how long I was there. I wonder, maybe that's why he was handing me his pillow.
Maybe he thought you were sleeping there. Maybe he thought she like, well, that girl. Because you must have quietly laid down because if you'd have like crashed to the floor, it'd have been a quick response.
I guess so.
So you must have just like crumpled. Oh, Ellie, what I would give to have seen that.
I know, I do wish I'm like, no one was filming because everyone was asleep.
Right. That's better. I mean, I want less people seeing that happen to
Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
I want one person filming it for us, not for the public. Not for public, but for us. So it's a 10-hour flight to Patagonia, straight from
Actually, it's probably more like 15. It's a 10-hour flight to Santiago.
Okay.
Which I really like.
From Nashville or from?
From, I think, like Dallas.
Okay, so y'all went Nashville, Dallas, Santiago.
And then Santiago, Puerto Arenas, which is literally like, once you're in Puerto Arenas, it's literally the bottom of South America.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like
That's
a 2.5-hour boat ride to Antarctica.
No way.
Yes.
Hours or days? 2.5 hours?
Hours.
To Antarctica? But y'all didn't go. You weren't like, I mean, Mm-mm. we might as well. We're this close.
We're so close to the bottom of the earth.
But then again, he has been sick. So you don't need to like.
We didn't want
to
push it.
And are there penguins down there? I think there are.
Oh, lots of penguins.
Yeah.
And lots of, they're called guanacos. And they're like baby, well, they're not baby. They're all baby llamas. They never grow up. They are literally, there are like thousands. We saw, it almost felt like Africa or something, like a safari kind of thing because they are everywhere. So we got to.
How small is baby-sized llama? Like a dog?
Like a really big dog, like a Great Dane.
No way. Just piles of tiny llamas.
Oh,
that's
so
the
cute.
Coolest.
Literally, again, you're like, is this real?
Right.
There's tiny llamas everywhere.
That is unreal. That's unbelievable. It's wonderful. Gonna have to Google them.
It's wonderful.
They're like tall dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my other favorite part where we stayed in a yurt.
Oh, really?
Which
there's
is
a commercial that makes a joke about staying in a yurt. Because isn't it like a it's like a circle.
It's like a circle with sort of, well, it's usually, I think typically they're open on the top, but there was like a plastic dome or whatever, so you can see the stars. But that was really, really cool.
Well, did you have to share it with humans, or was it just the two of you?
Just me and Drew.
That's good.
I just shared it with my favorite human.
Right, right, right. With the one you've chosen to share yurts with for your whole life. I think y'all said that in your vows. I will always pick you to share a yurt with.
I do.
Yeah, I do. Will you share a yurt with Drew? I will.
I will.
Okay, so I stayed in a yurt. Is there a bathroom in there and a kitchen? Mm-hmm. Is it like a
not
house?
Not a kitchen.
Were you glamping?
It was like glamping.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, exactly like that.
It was just glamping.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all are way adventurous. I like that about you. I want to be that way. I feel pushed in a good way by people to be more adventurous.
Yeah. I think there's something, here's why I like it. Like our fifth year we hiked in Mont Blanc. There's this like trek that goes, you know, the Paramount Pictures with the mountains and the stars around it.
Yeah.
That mountain is Mont Blanc.
Okay.
And so we hiked through three different countries basically in the Alps. And so we were France, and then Italy and Switzerland and back to France. And it was like 130 miles.
Oh my God.
So it was like really hard. Yeah. And so there's something about doing something really hard and then being in nature and you mm-hmm. feeling really small and remembering mm-hmm. that God is really big. And then there's something too about getting to know people who are totally different than you, who have a different worldview, who come from a different country and culture.
Yeah, because I guess in both experiences, it's not just the two of you and a guide. It's like a group.
And so it is, we love being stretched and in that way.
Did anybody in Patagonia know who you were?
Actually, we did have two people who knew who you
that
were.
Is so interesting.
Great.
Yeah. So they walk up and y'all are like backpacks on and they're like, are you Drew and Ellie Holcomb?
Yeah, it was more, we
because your
a
husband
conversation.
Drew, we should say, is also a musician. Yes, Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors, which are incredible.
Thank you. I love them.
I love them
so
too.
Much. And
so
he's really recognizable because he has a pretty fierce beard.
Yeah, he does. He does. So I can't imagine him without it. In fact,
I know. Yeah, it's been 8 years since he.
Oh my gosh, since he started building it,
building the beard.
That's his next album title, Building the Beard. Okay, so y'all are just in conversation, and then they said, we know who you are.
Yeah, they were very, very, very sweet about it.
Yeah.
So
that is so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
it's pretty wild. It's humbling, actually.
Yeah. I know when people speak to me at airports or in public places, I'm always like, it is so nice that you think that I am worth walking up to. Like that something in my life or something in our relationship mm-hmm. online or through books has led you to believe, has connected you in a way that said, not only do I want to tell Annie this, but I can. I can walk up to her and she will be glad I did.
Absolutely.
I'm always like, oh, I'm so glad
you did
that. I
know, and a lot of times people apologize. They're like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, please don't be sorry.
Right. Like, or when people say, I'm so sorry. I know this story because I read it in your book. I'm like, well, you didn't read my journal. You read a book.
You read a book.
I put it out there on purpose.
I knew what I was doing.
I knew exactly what I was doing.
Like, oh, no.
Right.
That got in there.
Right. The hard time. In fact, I would say the hardest story in Let's All Be Brave, I read to you and Kelly and Amanda, our writing group, first.
I remember.
So
we wept
our way through it, right? So those are the times it's hard to, when people say, I know that story, is the first time you say it to people, not the, not when it's in the book.
Not
but then
when it's already
I've worked through it.
I've worked through.
Okay, let's talk about Red Sea Road. I mean, it's just so good, Ellie.
Thank you.
I just love it. That I build a playlist every season of like spring, summer, winter, fall, just for myself of like, this feels like the theme of what God's doing. And and like your songs, key every time, I should add this one to the spring 2017 one. I should add this one to the spring 27. But it started with the first one, I Didn't Know I Find You Here.
Oh, man.
Ellie. That song.
That's true confessions. I walked in this morning.
Oh yeah, into my house. Yeah,
and I got off a phone call, and literally my song started playing on my phone. I was like, "Well, that's embarrassing." I was listening
to myself,
to my own song. But it's so crazy because, and you know this, you write the things that God is revealing to you teaching you.
That's right.
And a lot of times for me, it's the things that my very own weary soul needs to hear.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the days, like, you know, when I'm forgetful of the truth or when I'm facing things that feel overwhelming to me, which was not this podcast. Don't worry.
Thank you. Like, when I'm walking to Annie. Go talk to Annie.
Please, Lord. But we've been in a season where my whole family's been sick and, you know, I'm a worrier. And so I just, I was like, you know what? I need to remind myself of this song. So it feels a little weird to listen to yourself. But in the same breath, I'm like, I need to, that's what we're all supposed to do is preach the gospel and the truth.
Oh, how many times do I say Psalm 103 to myself? You know, it says, I can't think of it right now. How many times do I say it? But not right now. What is it? Find rest of my, no.
103. Yeah. I don't have a song about that. Praise the Lord, oh my
Praise
soul.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Yeah.
Yes. Don't forget his benefits.
Yes, that's what I do.
Who forgives all of your sins. Who heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit.
Yeah.
And who crowns you with his love.
Yeah, I know. I clearly couldn't remember it in the moment. But I do say it a lot, like, rejoice and, like, say to myself.
Remember
rejoice. Who he is. Yeah.
So who said that? I always quote this, and I always want to know who said it first because it wasn't me. But, like, our work as believers is to remember.
Yeah.
Our work is. And that's, like, what they did. And even in the Old Testament, like, build an altar, like, set stones, Ebenezer stones, so you remember what God did, who he is and who he's promised him.
Yeah, that's right. Lisa Harper says, re-gospel yourself over and over again, right? You have to re-gospel yourself. And that, like, I do. So you listening to your own music, I'm like, it could be anyone who wrote those words. You still needed to hear them today. And it just so happened that you're the one who wrote it and sang it. So
I listen to a lot of music. I mean, music, well, and then like scripture. I just, if I am not putting that in, I just forget.
You are one of the best at it right now to me in this space or whatever in my ears of taking scripture and putting it to music in a way that I want to keep listening to it. But I'm accidentally hearing the absolute truth.
Absolute truth. Yeah. But that's it. That's it. His word. It doesn't come back void. And that find you here comes out of Philippians 4:4-7. Mm-hmm. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and that peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I will never, I definitely have a story about this song, but I will never forget reading this verse in a Beth Moore study.
Yeah.
Breaking Free.
Oh, yeah.
And she has you write, she goes, okay, if this is a doctor, this is like a prescription for peace.
Yeah.
Like, this is God's prescription for peace. Here's what you need to do if you would like peace in your life. She's like, will you please write the opposite of this verse down? Like, paraphrase this and write the opposite. So don't be thankful for anything.
Like, worry
complain,
a lot.
Worry. Yeah. Complain. Worry. I'll say it again. Keep worrying.
Yeah.
The Lord isn't anywhere near you.
Yeah.
Don't pray or ask him for help about anything. Don't be thankful. And your stomach will be like in knots all the time. It felt like Beth Moore's little manicured hands, like literally, like it felt like it was reaching up out of her Bible study and like slapping me across the face, like, hey, I know that this is a hard command, because it does. It feels hard to rejoice always. Feels really, especially in light of some of the stuff that life can throw at you.
Yeah.
Just like, rejoice in this, Lord.
Right.
But I love that he follows that command with, the Lord is near. Mm-hmm. He's near. Mm-hmm. And we always have a reason, because he's near and because of what he's done on the cross, to be glad and to sing and to have hope. So I'm so, I just need to be reminded of that, because I forget.
Mm-hmm. Which song on the album is your favorite? Do you have a favorite? Can you do that? I don't know.
I know, it's like picking kids.
Right.
It's like saying which book is your favorite.
I know, right?
Or which talk is your favorite. But
right.
I think honestly, I mean, this the most personal song for me is Find You Here. I wrote that in the wake of my dad being diagnosed with cancer, and my mom and dad's response, I mean, nobody is ever ready for that phone call. I remember when I got the text from dad, the test came back, here's the deal. And I was in, it makes me want to be so compassionate to people on planes. I was in line for a Southwest flight.
Oh, wow.
And I just was literally like, you know, I mean, you're just not, it right just away, hits you like yeah. a train, and you're just, you're walking on a plane, everybody's looking at you, and just tears are streaming down your face. Mm. And so I will never forget, about a week after they got the diagnosis, mom and dad, my mom, they just wanted to host a praise and worship night at their yeah. house. And they have this amazing community. They just are open-armed people. So it's like kind of this ragtag
yeah.
group of people, like the person that sprayed their house for bugs, they invited. You know,
oh,
like
just, of course.
They're like, come one and come
right,
all.
Right, right.
Young and old. And I have this image of them, and I will never forget this, but I got to watch my mom and dad literally run with their... into like basically complete darkness. It looked, yeah. it was pretty aggressive, whatever was going on with my dad. It did yeah. not, we didn't have any, there's so many questions, so many unanswered questions, so many unknowns.
Yeah.
So they didn't know anything of how this journey would play out.
Right.
And they literally ran into all of that darkness with their hands raised in the air, praising God.
Yeah.
And it was this posture of, it was the most, it looked like the most crazy. I'm like, this is the most unnatural response to
right.
this kind of
right.
thing. I'm like, what right. in the world? But it felt irresistible to not just follow them.
Yeah.
And they good. Took this posture of hope, not a hope that is ignoring the suffering ahead of them, but a hope that's like looking at the suffering dead in the eyes and saying, this, whatever this isn't the end of the story because yeah. of who Jesus is and yeah. because of what
that's
he's
right.
done on the cross
that's
and
right.
because he walked out of a grave.
Yeah.
And I mean, we experience the presence and the peace of God, that Philippians 4:4 peace that does not make any sense.
Right.
In a way that will mark me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I could not believe the peace that we were feeling. And I was feeling so scared.
Yeah.
And the peace that just replaced that fear and flooded it out and flushed it out. I'll never forget it. And so I just got to live like a very visceral, very real, palpable experience of that verse being true.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, when I'm facing, that's why I'm listening to the song this morning, when I'm like, oh,
yeah.
my kids are sick. And,
yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to
yeah.
remember who
yeah.
you are, Lord.
That's right. I know. One of the things I'm doing for Lent starts, this podcast comes out March 2nd. So Lent started yesterday, technically. But one of the things I'm doing for Lent is I just went through a season where God kind of was really faithful in some things. And I said yesterday to our friends, Dave and Annie, I said, no matter what, this will mark me forever.
Right.
This God's faithfulness in this will mark me forever. So what I'm doing for Lent is writing. I'm taking time every day and writing every detail of the story as much as I can remember. Because I'm like, yes. I say I'll never forget and I'll never. I mean, my soul will never forget
right.
that God is a God we can believe.
Yeah.
But I think there are details I will forget the farther away I get
Absolutely.
From it. And so I'm like, no, I'm writing every word of it down because I have to re-gospel myself about this in 6 minutes from now. You know, like I have to remind myself again.
No, that's it.
Right?
That's it. I mean, Israel, that's Israel, right?
Right.
Like I'm so thankful for the Bible and the like long trajectory of God's people
right.
is forgetting.
Right. How many times, do you ever say that to yourself? I always say like, I am such an Israelite. I've forgotten everything the Lord did for me and I'm complaining again.
Again.
And I'm like, oh, Downs, you're the worst. Right? Like I'm an Israelite. I am like, oh, this manna that you provided is not tasty.
Does it taste like a donut?
Right. Exactly. Will you tell the story of Red Sea Road, how the song came about? And
oh man. Yeah. So my sweet friends, it's so sweet to have co-writers
yeah.
who are also dear friends. We've been actually, we were just laughing. I mean, not laughing, but yesterday kind of quoting song lyrics that we've written to each other,
yeah.
back to each other.
Yeah.
Just saying, yeah, we just the same thing. Like we still
right.
need to remember. And I'm so thankful we wrote this when we did because the Lord knew that I would need to sing it now.
Yeah, and, that's right.
That is such a gift. So they came over one night and we were just catching them up. And Annie, the last 2 years, and now we're like coming really up on like two, like from when I started writing the record,
yeah.
the 2 years before that. So really it's almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
But there were 2 years, and I was in the middle of them as I was writing this record, that were so full of suffering and sorrow and loss. Mm-hmm. Not as much for my personal family. It was so crazy. I wrote most of the record, and I'd written most of the record and like wrote Find You Here while we were already in pre-production.
Yeah.
Like that diagnosis for my dad actually happened. We had started pre-production for the record.
Yeah, and so
we walked through, it was literally like the Lord is, again, it's like, here, you've lived all this. I've taught you all this. Let's walk through it again. Let me remind you again.
Right.
Let me remind you again.
Yeah.
So
interesting that song starts the record too.
Isn't that crazy? Because it was the last song that was written. Find You Here's the last song that was written for the record, which is wild. But because it literally didn't exist. We had picked out most of the songs already.
That is so cool. And I love.
So
behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. And actually, when we recorded that song, my dad was having surgery that day. We were recording just a scratch vocal, which means the one that you sing so all the musicians can play to it and it's keeping the rhythm and they kind of can sense what you're feeling and kind of match that emotion.
The same day,
we were doing a scratch vocal with Ben Shive, the other producer. Dad was in surgery. I left the studio, went straight to the hospital and brought a little MP3 of that song in the hospital room, and we listened to it. And it just, my mom has a picture of my dad and I just hands raised in the air in a hospital room listening to that song. And we actually ended up keeping that scratch vocal.
That's the one.
You never do that normally,
right?
But we just literally
put
it.
Oh, I love it. So that's exactly what we hear you singing.
That's exactly what we hear.
Oh,
and
Ellie,
for the record, my mom would want me to say this, but my dad is in remission now, which has been really, we know that that's not the end of every cancer story, but it has been, and he, you know.
And God was good either way. He displayed it in this way.
Yeah. And so it has been a really sweet gift for my family to get to like record that song in the middle of all, you know, of everything.
Crazy.
So anyway, it really hard 2 years. Everything, just walking with our people. You always talk about your people.
Yeah.
And we were walking with some of our people through heartbreaking circumstances, losing children, divorce, cancer, and another family, addiction, rehab. I mean, just, you know, like a lot of heartache and infertility, you know, just the list, like all the things in life that can be so hard and so feel so broken. And I was literally telling them some of these stories. And there's a specific story of a friend, one of the friends that we've walked through infertility for years. A private adoption came up like out of nowhere. They weren't even looking for it. Mm. And then the mom who contacted them tragically, like in a really tragic way, lost their baby at 28 weeks that they were going to adopt. And so she was packing up all these gifts that people had given her. There was this little pair of baby shoes that somebody had given them, and they had a note attached. And this pair of shoes was given to them when they were in the 2 years of kind of infertility.
Yeah.
And it says, these shoes are to remind you that sometimes it takes a community to see a promise fulfilled.
Ooh.
And we're aching with you and we're hoping with you. And so she was packing up this box, just, you know, weeping.
Yeah.
And she's about to put this little pair of shoes on top of, you know, basically what felt like a box of broken dreams that she was packing up.
Yeah.
And she felt like the Lord spoke to her and he said, hey, I didn't tell you, those shoes are for hope. And I didn't tell you to pack your hope away.
Ooh.
And hope doesn't belong in boxes. And I need you to take those shoes out.
Wow.
And so I was telling this story to them and we were literally like,
right.
And Krista Wells pointed us to this Anvos camp blog that says, we believe that an unseen hope makes a Red Sea road where there seems to be no way.
Mm.
And that was such a beautiful description of what God was doing for me and for our community in the midst of overwhelming, unbelievable grief that felt like it would swallow you whole like
That's
the
right.
ocean. He was making a way for us to have hope and a way for us to carry on when it literally
you couldn't.
We couldn't do that on our own. And so we wrote the song. I felt really confronted with the choice that night of saying, okay, I can choose to despair because this feels like a really broken.
This feels like the right time to despair.
This feels like the right time to just throw your hands up and say, what on earth, God? Like, where are you in this? And I felt confronted with that choice to despair or to hold on to hope and to believe that his promises are true. And in Exodus 14:14, when the Israelites literally have suffered for years out of, they've been in slavery, and then there's an army behind them and the ocean in front of them. God is saying this in Exodus 14:14, you need only to be still, the Lord will fight for you. And that is so, that's the opposite of just, it's so hard to believe when you are in the middle of great grief. I think for me, my tendency is I want to do everything and fix everything and just make it better.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm with you and I'm for you and I haven't forsaken you and I'm not going to. And so I literally, that song came from literally walking on the ocean floor. And it is like a scary, crazy place to be, to trust God in that place. Because I'm even thinking about the Israelites, like walking through like water on both sides. That couldn't have been like so fun.
Casual.
This is terrifying. Like, it is terrifying sometimes to trust God with your future.
Some of the illustrations people have done where they're like fish swimming and right beside them. And
so pretty. They're like walking through.
Yeah, I'm like terrifying. Absolutely
it's
terrifying. Because how did they know that the water wasn't just going to crash in while they were there?
Right.
How did they know? I know.
So I just, and I love like the first, so I did some research later. So we wrote that song and it was, I needed to sing it. I'm not going to bury my hope, Lord.
Yeah.
Because you go before me and go behind me.
That's right.
And what does it look like instead of like looking at these impossible circumstances? And we're faced with those every day. Like, Lord, how am I going to do this? But if you're leading me here, you are going to make a way for me. Like, and so what does it look
like? And you finish every story you start, right?
Boom.
He finishes every story he starts. And so we can believe what we can't see.
That's right.
He always finishes it.
That's right. And it, even if when it's hard to, even when we can't see, like it is, you're like, no way. There's no way that there's a way through this. And so I love that that Red Sea Road was written. It wasn't the end of that friend's story. And the Lord has really brought a lot of healing to that. And even when the Lord brings healing, it doesn't mean the suffering wasn't there.
That's
but
right.
The suffering is the stories that we get to tell of how God met. I mean, it's, so I love that this record was written really in the middle of suffering, not on the other side of it, looking back.
Right.
Like that's sort of more where we are now. And
so
it is, it was just such a gift to, we just wept our way through singing that. And it was really sweet. We sent the song to Anne immediately after we wrote it. And the Lord was really, we sent it to her on Voxer. She's a Voxer.
Yeah. Oh, she loves Voxer.
She loves the Voxer.
I hate it. She loves it. The only way you can get Anne
is Voxer. No, it is. So we sent her the chorus. And in some ways, this is kind of her story to tell. So I don't want to give too many details. But it was, she and her husband were driving to do, they were driving into the impossible and walking into something that felt really hard. And like, God, how are you asking us to do this? And she had literally just said to Daryl, her husband, I don't see how. I don't see how. I don't see a way that we can do what God is asking us to do. And literally, inspired by her blog post, we send her a song immediately after those words come out of her mouth. When we can't see a way, he will part the ways. And so she voxers us back immediately, sobbing. And then we're sobbing because I think it's just good to be reminded that God sees us and he knows what we need to hear. And he hasn't forsaken us.
That's
and
right.
It was such a... it was just one of those Ebenezer moments where you're like, okay, Lord.
And it reminds me that when you think of someone, you need to text them.
Text them.
And you need, like, when something comes to your mind, you're like, why can't I stop thinking about Ellie? I need to just say to Ellie, I'm praying. I just prayed for you because I can't get you off my mind because we have no idea. We have no idea.
We have, and what a gift. And maybe there's nothing going on and they just feel loved and thought about.
That's right.
But man, what God is always writing stories and always working on our behalf.
Yeah.
And so I love that posture of like, okay, Lord, who do you want me to love today? Who
who's the Ann Voss camp that is waiting to hear that there's going to be a way? I know.
We get to be a part of that.
We get to be a part of that. I mean, that's the work I feel honored we get to do, is we get to be a part of that, and we get to say to people, believe the opposite of what you feel.
Ooh.
You know? I know what you feel. Don't care. I don't care. Believe the opposite. I know you feel like God's forsaken you. He hasn't. Yeah. I know you feel like you're alone. You're not. I know you feel like nothing's going to work out. It is. You know, like we get to say to people, don't act what you feel. You know, feelings aren't supposed to drive. They're just supposed to ride.
Right.
You know, you're allowed to feel them.
Yeah,
I'm not telling you not to feel them, but just don't let them drive the car.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that is the work we get to do.
It is.
You know, you do that work really well, Ellie. I'm telling I love all your albums, but I'm feeling teary. Your Red Sea Road. It just, sorry.
No, it's so sweet. And honestly, I'm like literally trying to swallow back.
I know. Me too.
It was not an easy process recording this record. And we did not finish it on time because of everything that was going on with my dad. And my mom also lost her mom in the middle of all of this. So it was like a struggle recording it. And I was so bummed that we missed this deadline. I was so ready to get it out. And I cannot tell you the amount of stories of people saying, I got this diagnosis this day, and the next day Red Sea Road came out.
Right.
I heard that. God knows better than we do. Like, his ways are higher than ours. And so it has been such a gift to feel so small, and to see him just show off and be so big and say, I know all these people, and I knew that this person needed to hear this song at this time. And when you write your books, and as you're walking through whatever he's giving you and you're writing it down, like, there are people that he knows that are going to need to hear that
truth. And the sweet thing is we just do the work and hand it back to him, and he goes, thanks. Okay.
Thanks.
I'm going to do some stuff.
Let me
that.
Do my thing.
And then, and Annie, I've got the next, you keep going. I'm going to do with the work what I need to do. And that's what he's done with Red Sea Road, Ellie. So, all right. I love you.
Love you.
Thank you for that record.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, unlike a normal podcast, I just never really got the chance to ask Ellie what sounded fun, because it just didn't really fit. So, we just kind of ended it with telling each other how much we love each other, because that's real friendship, y'all. She is one of my very dearest and one of the best, and I really hope you enjoyed hearing kind of the behind the scenes of Red Sea Road. And that album is just incredible. So I hope you've already started downloading it and have made it a part of your life. If you did not already have it, you should definitely grab it as soon as you can. If you enjoyed the conversation with Ellie, we have other great musicians that I have gotten to sit down and chat with, like Dave Barnes, Matt Wirtz, the couple from Grayson Reed. And in fact, we have a great podcast episode from around Christmas with Anne Voskamp, who Ellie mentioned is the reason she even got on the train to write the Red Sea Road song. So you can go back and check those out. I think you'll really enjoy the conversation with Anne. Ellie is super easy to find on the internet. She's ellieholcomb.com and Ellie Holcomb across all the social media pieces and places. And I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. You just name it. I am Annie F. Downs, F as in fancy, or Falcons, you know. So sad. Still, it's been a month since we lost the Super Bowl, and I'm still feeling it, you guys. Oh, so, so sad. So thanks for joining us today. I hope you really enjoyed the conversation with Ellie as much as I did. I totally loved it. I just love her. She's such a gift, and I just think the world of her. So, and she's singing to us in the background, so she will be our background music as long as she wants to be. I totally love it. I love that you get to hear her every week like you get to hear me. So she's a better singer than I am, so you're lucky that I don't do that part. I hope some of your fun today involves listening to Ellie's new record, and I am going to go do the same. Makes me want to listen to the record all over again straight through today. So hope you have a great day. Go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will see you next time.